I want to take just a few minutes here tonight. We won't go long just because of the big week we have before us. But I do want to emphasize, as I emphasized last week, the vital importance of a very solid personal prayer life. We went over, I haven't been over it for a while, I went over the hour with God. And the way that you can cover all the different aspects of communication with God, and we just touched on it last week to try to encourage you. And I do want to challenge you as you go through these days. It's easy when we're busy to neglect the most important thing. Now, we've, of course, taken quite a bit of time in corporate prayer as a church over these last couple of weeks, but that individual prayer time is so vital. One section that we just had to, for time's sake, last Sunday night, just zoom over that I think is often missed in our prayer time is the matter of meditation and discovery. And so I'm going to take just a few minutes here to talk about that 10-minute section that I think is vital in your communication with God as you have all the different aspects. Now, for those that are not familiar with what we're talking about taking the first 5 minutes or so of worship and praise, and then another 5 minutes waiting on God, another 5 minutes confession of sin, and then going on to spiritual warfare, then claiming promises, then 10 minutes of intercession and petition, another 5 minutes of thanksgiving, and then 10 minutes of meditation and discovery, finishing up with listening to God, and then singing and praising the Lord at the end of that time. That's just a suggested order, but it's just really a blessing to have a plan to be able to take that kind of time and really interact and come into the very presence of God, which is so important. In this secular day, pagan day that we live in, it is vital that every day we actually meet with God. My friends, He's real. He's on the throne. The Spirit of God is in your heart. And though we're not talking about an emotional experience, sometimes you'll have emotions. We're not talking about a time that's necessarily experiential. There is that spiritual reality when the Holy Spirit begins to make truth become real and the truth about the Lord, and you genuinely get into communion with God. And let me just say this. Unless we're just blind to something, when you start into that time, within a few minutes, you begin to have the barriers come down. And it's different every day, but what a blessed, blessed privilege to come into the very presence of God. Prayer, one writer said, bathes the soul in an atmosphere of the divine presence. And that's really what happens. And when we, day after day, take the kind of time necessary to really commune with God, the dots begin to connect, and life is seen from a spiritual, biblical perspective rather than overwhelmed by our secularism and the humanism of our day that is so prevalent around us. So just a little bit of review there. And so I want to talk tonight about the need to allow God in this time of prayer. You're going to have other Bible reading and Bible study, but I love to take the scripture and while you're in the time of prayer, allow God to work and really meditate and discover God's leadership in your life. That's what this is all about. And so I want to first of all look at the matter of discover. This is just a topical quick study here. I just wanted to take that one section out. And so when we take the 10 minutes and we take a chapter to look at or whatever we choose to do, this is exactly what we do in our Bible studies on Sunday mornings, but it is a process that we need to be disciplined in our own personal time. We need to realize that we are opening the revelation from the very heart of God. I like to periodically go over 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and look at how God has revealed to us that which we could not know. By the way, science cannot evaluate God. Science does not have the capability of understanding the things that are of God. Only God knows that. And so anything that's in that realm, but we have the revelation from his very heart that he has given to us. And the Spirit of God will lead us in our daily prayer time to truly discover his will and his truth for us in that day. Do you realize if you take 365 days a year, and you're faithful in your Bible reading, and then you're faithful in really zeroing in on truth, that you're going to learn a lot of truth just in your private time in 1 year. I mean, truth will become real. You will begin to memorize scripture that God has put upon your heart, how he's spoken to you. And this is not going to anymore be theory. It's going to be a dynamic relationship with God. So as you read the truth, look for a key verse. As you are reading, communicate with the Lord about what you are reading. Let me say that again. As you read the truth, be looking for that, maybe more than one verse, or may just be a phrase. But what is the Spirit of God wanting in your meditation time in prayer to really emphasize in your life? And God wants to communicate. So as you're reading, communicate with God about what you are reading. The Bible doesn't just need to be an academic, intellectual exercise. It needs to be, obviously, understanding it. That's why it's tremendous to have Bible helps in meditating so we can be accurate with the language and so forth. But God wants us to be calling upon him and to allow his truth to answer those questions and to work very distinctly in our hearts. We're very familiar with Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Joshua was about to go on a campaign that was that which the nation of Israel was unwilling up to this point to do. They were going to be facing an impossibility. They were walking into disaster if God did not intervene. But the Lord made it very clear. Now, Joshua, this word needs to be so in your heart so that as you approach these impossible circumstances, the Spirit of the living God, the Shekinah glory, can give you the direction. You'll know the truths, and you will be able to really allow me to lead you. Psalm 119:15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. And of course, I love Psalm 1, where the blessed man is the one that delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Meditate has the idea to ponder, to chew over and over, to look at it from every angle, to understand through the Spirit of God's illumination what that really means. You know, you can just fly through Scripture, and it can be a blessing. You get the basic thoughts. But I'm telling you, sometimes you can take one phrase, and it explodes. You realize that's God. That's what God says. That's a promise. That's real. And the Lord will actually speak to you. You know, we often talk about George Mueller's prayer life, but if you have read his biography or have studied his prayer life, the one thing that you find is that key to his prayer life was not just him coming with requests, but he was very thorough in his meditation of God's word. That was how he learned how to pray. I learned this from my dear saintly grandmother, who just had a powerful prayer life, but in her praying, you could tell God had given her truth that directly applied to what she was praying for, and confidence had come that she was in the will of God, praying about whatever specific things that she was praying about. And so he mentions, the result I have found to be almost invariably this, that after a very few minutes, my soul has been led to confession or to thanksgiving or to supplication, so that though I did not, as it were, give myself to prayer, but to meditation, yet it turned almost immediately more or less into prayer. He's talking about when he's in the Word of God. And he talks about how that when he's in the Word of God, that's how he prayed. The Word of God was just a key part of his whole thought process. So let God speak to you through his word. Talk to him about it. This is God's. These are God's thoughts. I mean, you know, we have our thoughts, but we need to let God speak through his word. You say, how does God speak to me? Wow, he has really already spoken to you. And when your heart is in tune and you've already spent 40 minutes in prayer and God has been working in your heart, you get into the word of God, it will come alive, I promise you. It will be precious to you, not only encourage you, but you will have truth that will grip you and change your life. And the key verse or section that speaks to you, you need to write out that key verse. Now, we do that, of course, on Sunday mornings here in our Bible studies. We do it in our discipleship. But there is something about the discipline of writing out a verse, especially when you're having a prayer time. And that makes you start the process of meditation. And as you do that, and of course you've seen this on your sheets, what is happening in this passage? Number one. Number two, what do we discover about God from it? In other words, what's the context and what does this say about God? Let me just say from this morning's message, you think Jonah maybe needed to do a little bit more of that? What was his big problem? He had a warped view of God, didn't he? I shouldn't say that. He actually said, I know that's the way you were. But he had not accepted it. He had not reveled in it. He had not based his life upon the mercy and long-suffering and goodness of God. And not let that change him. And what do we discover about people from it? Ourselves and others. The wisdom that comes, the direction, the perspective that comes is an amazing thing. Wilbur Smith was a very warm-hearted commentator and professor, and he writes, we should be careful not to give all our time just to reading the word to see how much we can cover, but after reading a portion, we should carefully, prayerfully turn it over in our minds and appropriate it in our hearts. And how true that is. And then, of course, that second thing that we want to encourage you to do is rewrite the words in your own words. In other words, being true to what the text says, what does it mean? Just meditate on it and write it down where you can understand it. Psalm 27:11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. And so we need to just really take the time, that passage, what does it mean? And what does it mean to me? What is God saying? You see, prayer really does need to be a two-way conversation. And the only way it's going to be truly a two-way conversation and you don't just get subjective completely is that you need the objective Word of God while you are praying. Certainly, you need to be reading the Word and it needs to be part of your life. But in the actual exchange of prayer, there needs to be that discipline of meditation. So we need to be discovering. And then here's the key that I wanted to get across. Number two, obey. You've heard us say it 1,000 times. Discover, obey, share. Obey. How does the truth in this Bible passage change? Number one, how we see God. Number two, how we treat others. And number three, how we live. Now, folks, truth should change our lives. And sometimes I'll go several days and realize, I'll go through the motions, and I realize, wow, I haven't let the Word of God change my perspective on God to be more biblical and really strengthen my relationship with others and cause me to live in a way that I know is more and more according to the pattern of Jesus Christ himself. And so we need to really allow God to dynamically expose us, convince us, convict us of our needs. You know, we don't need to wait 7 days until we hear preaching again or 3 days until Wednesday night to hear preaching again, to have conviction. You know, every I've had to tell you, some of the most excruciating conviction and direction I've ever had has been in the early morning hour with God. All of a sudden, God just opens it up, and it's a blessed thing because you've been trusting Him with your heart. You've been trusting Him with your life. And to have that truth really grip you about the right view of God and how your relationships ought to be and how there's wrong motives and there's bitterness there. And then what are we doing or not doing that God's wanting us to correct? And much could be said there. And then B, what must I do to obey? And here's where we come up with that I will statement that is practical and measurable in 24 to 48 hours. Now, it's easy to let this become a little mechanical or just do it. But do you think that God has seven things a week at least that He'd like you to grow in? Again, just think, 365 days, if we would have one distinct area that God led us in, guided us, and supernaturally changed us, that would be a lot of transformation in 1 year. You know, the up and down Christian life is not what God wants. So this is one of the beauties of an extended time with God every day. Sure, you may feel a little bit like you're going up and down, but you're moving forward and upward all the time. You're growing here, and then God adds to that, and then God adds to that. And you get this confidence that God is working, He's protecting, He is transforming me, and you're not looking for experience, you're not looking for emotion, you have this settled relationship with God, and there's just that great joy of seeing God continually lead and guide you. Then you're very tender when you hear the preaching of God's Word, you're very tender when you hear other times of truth being given to you, and put the pieces together, and you begin to have wisdom that is really discerning, that wisdom that comes from God. And that all comes through really taking time to let the Spirit of God open up the Word of God to you just on a daily, practical basis. And so that's so important. So it's so important to write down in the listening section of your journal, I will. And to be as specific as possible about it. And a lot of times we're afraid to be specific because that means we're going to have to apologize. We're going to have to speak to somebody, to go out of our way to sacrifice in reaching someone. I don't know how many times God has given direction. I want you to reach that person. I want you to step out and do this. And you're having a definite, dynamic encounter with God. But you know, when you finish your prayer time, you got direction from the King of Kings. You know, you look at Moses and God gave direction to him. You go to the New Testament, to the Apostle Paul, God continued to direct him. My friends, your life is as important as those men and women. God has a distinct mission for you. Do you not think that He can direct and guide you? And we got to be careful. I fully believe the Spirit of God subjectively leads us. But it needs to be in the context of saturation with Spirit-empowered meditation on the objective Word of God. And you will find that clear direction will come as you are in this book, especially during a time of prayer. It'll click. That's what I'm supposed to do. And you will know it's what you're supposed to do. In fact, what's going to happen is those verses are going to end up in your promise section. Because you've had an encounter with God and now you stand upon that. That's what God's told you. That's what He's promised you. And then you have great peace because God is working. And then finally, move along quickly, share. Remember, one of the principles in the Christian life is God gives for you to give. In the material realm, God gives you to give. We've given the illustration a number of times of a FedEx driver. He's not to take one of those boxes that he has and take it home because he was the driver. I mean, that FedEx box is for him to deliver to wherever the address is, and he's to give it to them. God gives us material blessings, and He has them earmarked many times for other people. Well, especially in the area of the stewardship of truth. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we often quote that a man is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. If you look at the context, that's about truth. In other words, you hear to share. You hear to share. What you're hearing tonight is for you to share. We've got to understand, that's what we teach our academy and our college students, that what they're getting certainly is for transformational work in their own life, but it's for them to be transformed so that they then can take that truth by the power of God and give it to others. And that is so important. Now, it will change. Now, this is important. It's not some cute little idea. Discover, obey, share. I mean, we're talking big time direction from Almighty God. And this matter of share is not some nice little idea. This is God's plan. And when we are thinking share, we're going to get a lot more from our meditation time. If you're really wanting to get it, to give it. Now, I have the privilege knowing I have to speak. A lot of times I'll speak 12, 14 times a week. Believe me, this time is very important for me because I get seed thoughts over and over and over in little devotionals and opportunities to speak or challenge or counsel. But friends, just think of all the interactions you have. God wants you to be thinking, all right, I've got to give this to your family. That's what family altar can be, is the sharing of what God has given to you. In marriage, just to share with one another, the dynamic of God working through the Word of God, it becomes alive, it's real. But then far more, and it can open doors to giving the gospel in so many other ways. But folks, we've got to learn that God has given us the truth for us to be stewards of it. So we need to summarize the truth that we've learned so it can be shared. Psalm 119, 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. And so we need to summarize it. As we've taught before, we need to make a bridge statement, a way that we can communicate it. By the way, have you ever been impressed by truth and then tried to talk about it and you can't quite get it out? I always tell the preacher boys, one of the worst things you can do is get all stirred up about a passage, and in the emotion of that, think you can get up and preach. And you get up and it's as unclear as it gets. You know, you've got to work on it a little bit to get it precise and down. Well, that's what this is about, a bridge statement, a way to talk about things, a way to clarify it. And I'll tell you what, when you have shared the truth with somebody, you're 10 times more able to remember that. You share it a couple times, you got it. You got it. And that's why anytime you learn something, tell everybody all day long. You know, I tell you, I found Joshua, whatever. I found in Philippians, God touched me heart. I just want to tell you about it. It won't be long. You got it. And it's a great blessing. And you want to make it clear. And ask the Lord to reveal the person who needs this truth. And God will show you. God will show you. God will give you an opportunity to take the truth and to be a blessing with it. 10 pretty power-packed minutes, aren't they, if we'll allow God to work. So I just wanted to review this. I hit it so quickly last Sunday night, I thought, you know, I need to get back. I need to camp on this a little bit because this part of our prayer life is vitally important. Do you believe God can talk to you? Do you believe the Spirit of God wants a relationship with you? Absolutely. Who is the author of Scripture? The Spirit of the living God. He has promised to illuminate it. You can come out of the morning of every day having heard from God. I'm telling you, folks, when your spirit is aware of the presence of God and you have heard from God, I don't care what happens. You know that God is real. You know that God is working. And your heart is filled with purpose. It is filled with encouragement. And it will change how you face that day. So let's ask God to give us some real times of meditation and discovery that will be a great blessing, even this week. Wouldn't it be wonderful for each of us to come out of each morning with something to tell somebody? Be powerful. And may God give us that kind of heart. Let's bow for prayer.